Hey guys, welcome back. So glad to have you at the Enduring Churches podcast today. I'm Trent and Alan are here in the house, but not the same house. We're in different houses, but that's okay. Technology brings us together, even though we're in different locations. And aren't you grateful? Technology is always so seamless and works so perfectly, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, even in our podcast, it's always perfect. Never any issues whatsoever. And I'm lying through my teeth. So,
yeah, they can't see our faces right now. So there's drips of sarcasm might not be completely visible, but they're there for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I'll tell you what, I talk a lot about, you know, pastoring, and when something would happen, inevitably we'd have it all together. Even through the course of the week, we'd have everything set up, and then Sunday morning things would just like blow up, you know. And it's like, this is the thing that causes me to lose my Jesus joy the quickest. And so
yeah, no doubt. And you know, I grew up in a church that was on TV every Sunday, and I know that there was always concerns about their technology, things that could go wrong. You know, we went from a corded world to a cordless world. That creates its own issues sometimes. I've pastored a church where there was a shortwave radio operator that would sometimes appear over our channel that I'm preaching out of, and you'd hear this other sound in the speakers, and sometimes even a choice word or two that I'm pretty sure I didn't speak. So, you know, technology can throw us a lot of curveballs along the way.
It really can. Yeah. And it just, you know, it can be such a blessing. You know, during the course of COVID and all that, a lot of churches decided to do a live feed of their service. And that was a blessing that we have the technology available, but it can also just really mess things up, screw up the flow of a service, you know, when things don't work out well, and or something goes wrong that you had planned to, you know, like with a video or something. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But things can really be messed up by technology, or they can be really built up by technology as well.
Right. I think when they're built up by technology, we don't think about it. But when technology goes wrong, we think about it a lot. And then we want to find solutions so that that never happens again until the next new issue that comes along. And then we're trying to be busy figuring that one out. So, you know, what do we do when things kind of go wrong? That was really kind of the baseline for what we wanted to talk about today, because there are certain things that go wrong. And there's probably three areas of technology that we think about every Sunday that can go wrong. And the most simple one, and that's been around for a long time now, is our sound and our microphone. But that one probably causes as much angst as just about anything in the church.
Yeah. You know, you either get that feedback sound, that screaming loud sound. Everybody's like, you know, plugging their ears from maybe a guitar that gets plugged in or something happens there. And so, yeah, just microphone issues, whether plugged in or wireless, either can be a huge deal.
Yeah, dead microphones, you can't get something to work, or someone's coming up to do a special music and they can't get the sound. Or I remember the cassette days when someone would be singing a special song and then they had practiced it and then they forgot to rewind the cassette tape.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you'd hear them back, hey, talk for a little bit. And they're rewinding the cassette in the back so that it'll be cued to the right spot. Yeah, well, there's so many things that can go wrong with all that.
Right. And cassettes, remember, they would have like multiple, like high track, low track, medium track on that same side. You would get the wrong one. And the person trying to sing along was just, it's just a circus, man. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Since I can't sing, I didn't have to worry about that. But those who are musically adept knows how terrifying that is to get the wrong key thrust upon you when you didn't expect it. So I get all that. I remember a guy, speaking of microphones, he'd grown up in a church that was even larger than my church, and he was working with us one summer and he was asked to preach a message. And so they gave him a microphone. I think it was a lapel mic but it had attached to the wire.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
There was a long wire that he followed around. And before he was done, he was wrapped up like a mummy in that thing. He couldn't even move his feet because he was filled with so much anxious energy and it twisted and turned so much that cord got completely wrapped around him. And just a memory that's like etched in my mind. And I remember thinking to myself, don't ever let that be you.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and it's hard. I mean, I've just this last week, we were at a church in our area that had church in the park, and because they had cords running everywhere, their pianist, she tripped and fell in the park, and, you know, just over cords. And so there's all kinds of issues that can happen with that. So that's one area that can cause you lots of frustration. Anymore, a lot of our churches, they either are streaming or they're receiving videos and stuff off the internet, and the internet can really cause you to lose your Jesus joy in a hurry.
Yeah, screens and data are kind of that other area that seem to go crazy. And I know for me, when we first started doing like the sermon notes and words on the screen, it would always frustrate me that people would be behind in the booth and not paying attention. The screens would say the wrong thing. And then you get a video. Someone says, hey, can you play this video as part of an announcement? And then it had to buffer the video. And so you just get this circle on the screen. And even though all those things are better, they still happen. And a lot of that time is more on the user error than it is actually on the technology itself.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, especially when things, like you said, are thrust on you at the last minute. And the poor guy in the sound booth that is trying to do multiple jobs at one time, and everybody's looking at him, you know, like, hey, do your job, man. Well, he's doing his job. Bless his heart, you know, he's doing the best he can, but crazy things have been expected at the last moment. Or, you know, like we had our screens at the last church I pastored. They were wirelessly connected, and it seemed like one of those connections would go down in the middle of the service, and it was so frustrating. But there's all kinds of things, right? Just basic things like the electricity going out. You know, something happens, a storm happens, or all those kinds of things. I've even had fire alarms go off, and there was no fire, thank goodness, but just going off, and sometimes in our church they would go off in the middle of the night and there'd be no fire, but you know that somebody calls you as the pastor, right, to deal with that stuff. So technology can really get to you.
Yeah, you know, I think when you think about the electrical outage, my first church, I preached in view of a call the day after a tornadic storm went through.
Oh, wow.
And there was no electricity in the church. There was a potluck after and all those kinds of things. No electricity. I preached by a lantern that was set up on the pulpit. And so there was a lantern light so I could see my notes. And I'm pretty sure they just didn't have the heart to tell me no after I had endured the conditions. And so they mercifully voted me in as the pastor. And I'm grateful for that. But it's a great memory in my mind because, you know, here I was moving from Fort Worth to a small little town in Southwest Oklahoma. And when I mean small, really small little town. And that was a kind of a culture shock. And so to preach without electricity was very fitting.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to our neck of the woods, right? Oh my goodness. Well, and so, you know, as you think about this, and you probably could share stories as you're listening to this, probably many of you could add to our list. But, you know, there's different ways you can handle things. First of all, you can take the road of just freaking out and getting mad and shutting down even. And that doesn't work out well, right? You know, everybody's a little bit tense anyway. But if you get mad and start griping at the people, it's not going to work out well.
Yeah, you know, Trent, when I was a kid, we were able to do something in my school that was like making our own news show. And so we were using a video camera when you first kind of had access to video cameras that would go into some kind of tape. And so we were making a news broadcast. I was in fifth grade and I got to be the sports anchor on our news broadcast. And so I'm up there ready to be, you know, give all the results of all the sporting events. And I looked up where you could see what they were filming, and they had lopped off the top of my head. So the student cameraman only had me from the nose down. And I looked up and said, "Hey, you cut my head off." So in the broadcast was, "You cut my head off." So I guess I probably freaked out pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it's so tempting, right? And especially when you're preaching, and you're thinking, you're trying to make things flow really well, and you've got this plan, and you know, like you've got a video that you're going to add in at just the right moment, and then bang, nothing happens. It's so frustrating, and it's real easy to lose your cool, but you also lose your your testimony at that point, and even the message of your sermon. So be careful. Don't take the freak out road. You can also take the laugh it off road, you know, and everybody makes fun and all that. And that's, it can be, you know, relieve some of the tension. But today we want to give you some hints and things that you should consider, maybe a third option, and that's to make it a teachable moment, and things we should do to deal with these things in a healthy way.
Yeah, wasn't it Rudyard Kipling that had the poem, "If, you know, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you"? I think that there's a great wisdom in that. You know, when we think about, you know, laughing it off is certainly when it happens is important, but what do you do after that? You know, both the freak out, if you freak out, you're tempted to just want to stop everything and put an end to it. If you laugh it off too hard, you kind of end everything because no one's going to follow you after that. But if you can acknowledge it and kind of move through it, it becomes an opportunity to amplify your message and to make it more important. It's one of those ones that people will tend to remember much longer than they will if everything had gone perfectly. So what do you want to do? How do you want to prepare yourself to do that? And I think part of it too, Trent, is recognizing too that all of these moments allow us to do a better job in the future with our services so that things do tend to go more smoothly.
Yeah. And I think it's important for us to keep in mind that there are people around the world, and you and I, Alan, have been in these services around the world where people have no technology, not even any electricity or lighting, and their worship services are more sweet and more passionate and truthful than anything we've ever experienced with all the technology we have. You know, people in Haiti and India and Africa and all around the world, you know, they barely have a roof over the head. Some of them are just meeting under a tree. You know, even this past summer at our camp, we had youth camp here. We had a bunch of kids. It had rained all day, all week, and we thought, oh, this is great. We're going to be able to keep electricity. The last day that the kids were there, we lost power, but that was one of the sweetest times of worship that we had all week. And so don't let this stuff keep you from worshiping the Lord.
Yeah, when it comes to having middle school boys at the camp, you'd much rather lose electricity than water. That's for sure.
Well, in our case, when we lose electricity, we lose both because
We're
on a well. And so we didn't have any way to flush toilets or anything. So it was crazy.
Yeah, that's a challenge. But that's what we do, right? We're here to kind of move through challenges, accept the challenge, rise to the challenge. Every cliche you could use is really true. That's why they're cliches, because we use them all the time. But, you know, we would encourage you, when your technology goes wrong, acknowledge it and move forward. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that difficult. And it doesn't matter if you're a 1,000-member church or you're a 10-member church, acknowledge it and move forward. And you look like you have control of the technology, not that the technology has control of you.
Yeah, I really agree with that, Alan. And we don't want it to be in control of us. And we want to look like, hey, it's that we're unflappable, right? As the leader, that, hey, it's no big deal. It's kind of like that screaming baby in the sanctuary. You know, it's no big deal. Everybody else, especially the parents, are freaking out. Don't do that. Just say, you know what? Hey, God bless them. We're glad to have kids in our service, you know, and just move on. And so in this dealing with technology, that third option is to to make this a teachable moment. And it may not happen during the service. It can, you know, you can talk to your people about that we don't need necessarily technology to be able to worship the Lord. But then you can also use it afterwards when you're visiting with your people that are in charge of the sound and the video and the musicians and all those different folks. Don't jump down their throats. Instead, let them, you know, talk to you. Say, hey, what happened? Tell me what you think. You know, what was the issue that we dealt with? How can we make it better? How can we make sure that this isn't an issue next time?
Yeah, I'm convinced, Trent, that one of the things that we've way underdone is we've way undertrained enough people who know our areas of technology. I've got a lot of churches that are scrambling to try to teach someone else how to operate their sound system.
Well, and think about, I mean, if you have just a basic board that has 8, 10, 12, you know, gosh, our board that we had at one point was not a digital board, but it had we had 36 channels, and you know, each channel had like 6 knobs. That's intimidating as all get out, you know, for somebody to come up and like being, I want you to run sound and never train them. There's no way.
Yeah. Then you add a digital board to that, which has a ton of options and a ton of pre-settings and all kinds of things. And people look at that and how do you figure out how to operate that? Where do you route the monitors in those systems? All those kinds of things. It's a challenge, and really training someone is by far the best way, because observing and watching and copying is the best way to teach that. Reading about it doesn't teach you that much. You have to experience it to really learn it.
Yeah, bless the heart, the first guy that is your sound guy when you get a new soundboard, and all they get is the manual, you know, like, that doesn't help me a whole lot. You know, it's like, go watch some YouTube videos or whatever. And that's still not very helpful.
So yeah. And a lot of companies today will send someone to train you on a new board, especially if you buy a digital board. Don't say, oh, we'll be fine. Take them up on that offer and use that as a day of training, because that's really important. You know, Trey, I was thinking about some of these things that we do. And, you know, I was just thinking about the old overhead projectors, you know, before we put the displays up, and there'd be someone with an overhead projector putting transparencies on it. You know, they would always put those things on backwards, and it looked like you're, oh, that's Amazing Grace in Hebrew. Oh no, the words are backwards. You know? And we do some silly things, you know, like that in churches, and we kind of laugh about that. And one of the things that happens way too common, kind of like that overhead thing back in that day, is that people forget to check their batteries.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal. And you know, we had multiple chargers. We had rechargeable batteries, and so we would stick them all on to charge after a service. We would try to remember to do that. Sometimes we'd be in a hurry and forget, and then you get to the next service and those things aren't charged. And so, yeah, having fresh batteries, freshly charged batteries, that's so important.
Yeah, I had a sound guy that every Sunday he had his little meter, and he would meter the batteries and see where they were at, so he'd know if we needed new batteries. And we kept track of that because we didn't want that happening. It had happened a few times and we never wanted it to happen again. And so, you know, you want to make sure that little things like your batteries are fresh, make sure that the cords are plugged in, do the mic checks, do all those little things so that you don't get those hiccups or you don't get that annoying squawk that happens sometimes when someone gets turned on for the first time. You know, go through your system and make sure everything's working.
Well, and there's a lesson that one of the gentlemen that is one of our trustees here, he taught me. He's a retired electrician, and he said that in every job they did what they called a take two at the beginning and a take two at the end. And that was to take 2 minutes and walk through, just look and make sure everything's in the right place. You have everything you need, all the batteries you need, whatever. And so in your service, do that same thing. And then at the end, before you leave, make sure that everything's in the right place, being charged, everything's put away. Take two at the beginning and the end. just to make sure that everything's set like you need it to be. And that'll take a lot of stress away.
Yeah, it's not a very hard thing to do. Just make sure, again, little things like those batteries are fresh. You know, one of the things that frustrates me is when churches don't have their videos ready to go. I know I failed at this a few times, but I got better and better and better at it. You know, upload those videos early and check your connections. That was the first thing we did with our sound and video. Once we hit COVID, we realized that we needed it to work every week. And so we were checking that connection. And every week it seemed like there was something going wrong that we had to kind of troubleshoot through it.
Yeah. And this may be what you were talking about, Alan, but if you use a video from online, download it. And there's lots of software that will help you to do that. Don't rely on an internet connection, because what will happen is it may work perfectly when you're there by yourself and there's nobody else on your internet or your Wi-Fi. But then you get a house full of people on their phones, and all of a sudden you have not enough bandwidth to run that video. So you need to make sure that you download any videos ahead of time, that they're on the computer that is going to run that video, so that you're not waiting on Wi-Fi to spool up and you get the circle of death.
Yeah, there's so many reasons to do that and to check on that and to see how things are working. But you, again, too, you need that connection to some degree oftentimes because of all your wireless things that are going out across your network. I know for us, our digital board allowed us to have its own router. And so we would route things that were tied in to the soundboard through that router. And that's the only thing that that router had to handle. So it had its kind of own bandwidth. And there's a lot of things you can do that help simplify that. But look for good solutions for those things. But Trent, there's probably something that's even more basic than all of those other things we've talked about. And I think this is something that churches really need to understand, because the technology in this world today is so good that you can go into the middle of the biggest backwoods place you've ever seen and find the most integrated Wi-Fi setup and the most technologically astute person you've ever met. And they're in the middle of nowhere. It seems like they're off the grid, and yet they are totally wired into the grid. Your church expects you to do technology well. And if you can't do it well, don't do it at all in most cases.
Yeah, that's right. Don't force something that you don't know how to make it run and look smooth. Like you have in our note here, to go simple. Sometimes simple is just better. As we talked about before, there's places all around the world that have amazing worship services that have no technology. And so, if you can do it, you know, and you've got people who are able to do it and make it go smoothly, then sure, absolutely use it. But if not, yeah, don't do that where it messes up the worship service and takes away from the message that God has for those people.
Yeah, you know, most churches are trying to live stream, and I understand trying to live stream through Facebook or something like that. But most churches don't really know how bad their music sounds when they do that.
Yes.
You know, for most of them, you'd be better off just saying, we'll start the live stream when the preaching starts and forget trying to live stream that music, because it's awful. And it doesn't mean that the worship in your building is bad, but it makes it sound really bad. And I think most churches would be best to stream that. A lot more churches today, too, are saying, you know what, Facebook's not our best medium for doing this. So we're either going to do a special video shoot to do a message specifically for our online audience, or we're going to edit it and then upload it to something like YouTube or Vimeo at a higher quality level, so that people can actually feel like we put some thought and intent into what they're observing into their experience. And I think those things are beneficial. One thing other to consider with technology is, one thing that technology does is it allows every word you've ever said that you've put out online to be recorded and remembered. So you may not want every sermon to be remembered. And if you kind of put those things on at a later date, you actually have control over that situation. So there's a lot actually to consider with all of that.
I would really agree with what you said about the music part of it. People think, well, it sounds good here, but if you don't mic it, you know, have a mic for every little thing and have a good mix, because your mix on going online will be different than what you're getting in the house. Man, you're absolutely right. Music can just sound terrible. And your internet, your web page or your Facebook page, that's your front door, your church. That's what people are going to experience first. And wow, you can just push them away big time when it sounds terrible. So I agree with Alan, you know, go ahead and record it. Take a day to edit it and make it look sharp and put it on YouTube video or Vimeo, or there's lots of different ways to do it, or just have it on your website. And, you know, there may be some sermons that are just for your church family that is there, and you don't have to have that online. So I wanted to add something else too, Alan. I just thought of that. We mentioned Wi-Fi, and I would be very, very careful. Do not give everybody access to your church Wi-Fi, because it will take up all your bandwidth, and you won't be able to do anything that you need to do, whether it's downloading a video or whatever. Either partition it and set up a guest Wi-Fi account, but limit it, or don't give access at all.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. You need to protect yourself from that. You also don't want people downloading things that you don't want them downloading on your internet as well. So there are many reasons to make sure that you take care and monitor your online access. I know I'm at my church, the youth building, you cannot get Wi-Fi at all. It's blocked. So no students, when they're in the student building, they cannot get online in any capacity whatsoever. So I think there's some wisdom in those things. So there's some things to consider. So what we've been talking about today is technology. And we all know that at some point in time, it's going to go wrong. You're going to be on stage expecting something to happen and nothing happens. How are you going to handle that? Are you going to freak out? Are you just going to laugh it off? Or are you going to use that as a moment that you can work through, take the high road in the moment and learn from it at a later time? And then there's some things you can do on the backside. So Trent, I think that's a great idea to talk about technology today. I'm so grateful you brought this issue to our attention. We've all been affected by it, and it's a fun conversation. So thanks for setting this one up.
Well, yeah, I'm glad we could talk about it, because I think, like you said, everybody's dealt with it from time to time. And we don't want you to not be able to share the message that God has placed in your heart with your people just because of some technological issues. So I'm glad we were able to talk about this. If you have a suggestion of a topic that we should talk about, I hope you'll get in contact with us through our website or Facebook or something like that. But I really, really appreciate you taking time to listen today, and hope that you'll tune in next week.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. And we are so excited to be a part of your lives. And if you would do something for us, give us that 5-star review on your listening format and pass this on to someone else so they too can be part of the Enduring Churches Network. Thanks, and we'll catch you next week.